This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Couple of different directions. First, we head to the nation's capital, where a couple of turkeys are going to be pardoned on Tuesday. Can you believe we're a few days away from Thanksgiving? It's here. The good news is there's a lot to be grateful for, no matter how much you have or don't have, right? That's the whole idea of Thanksgiving. Just keep that in mind. I don't know if people always think about that. So two turkeys out of how many gazillions get pardoned? It's a tradition in D.C., really at the White House. Here are some other things happening coming out of the White House. The president says the tax reform is going to be a big, beautiful Christmas present for all. He has the part of the Congress in his pocket, but the one we do not know, meaning Congress says one half of Congress says yes, the other, it's still up for grabs. And what is that going to look like? Remember the promise of a lower corporate tax to bring more jobs back? That was one thing that was discussed a ton on the campaign trail. But that's not the only thing. What kind of tax cut are you going to get? That's part of what the bill supposedly is going to give us all, a tax break. So, meaning, you know, jobs will come back and you'll get more of a tax break. Corporate rate will be reduced from 35% all the way down to 20%. Which is what so many complained about and why they said they went overseas. Now, if they have commitments to come back, that means jobs would come back, and the tax, with the lessening of the tax burden, then that would have worked. But I don't know how many companies have agreed to say they will jump back into this. It's kind of a mixed minus at, you know, sort of at this point. Also happening out of the White House is the president declaring North Korea a state sponsor of terror. So the president announced on Monday that the U.S. will designate North Korea as exactly what I said, a state sponsor of terror, because of the heightened nuclear tensions. Trump said the designation will impose further penalties on the country. He called it a long overdue step and let's end part of the maximum pressure campaign against North Korea. Let's just call it what it is. The U.S. officials cite the killing of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's estranged half-brother in a Malaysian airport in February as an act of terrorism. So there's a lot of things that are kind of flying around in a few different directions. And, of course, the president is facing pressure from Congress to relist the country amid the nuclear program. So that's where some of that probably comes from, relisting it and calling it something completely different. While that happens, the other thing that's been interesting to see, I think, coming out of Washington is this judge permanently blocking Trump's sanctuary cities order. So a U.S. District Court Judge William Orrick rejected the Trump administration's argument that the executive order applies only to a relatively small pot of money and cannot set new conditions on spending approved by Congress. So what this does is people were running around with signs saying immigrants are welcome here. That steps that up with now this latest ruling, especially making it permanent. It came in lawsuits brought by two California counties, San Francisco and Santa Clara. A lawyer for the DOJ Work in April that the executive order applied to only a few grants that would affect less than $1 million for Santa Clara County and possibly no money for San Francisco. The judge disagreed. He said in his ruling that the order was written broadly to reach all federal grants and potentially jeopardize hundreds of millions of dollars in funding to San Francisco and Santa Clara. So that's not happening. For now, that's out the window. The Trump administration has also moved to withhold one particular law enforcement grant from sanctuary cities, prompting this new round of lawsuits that are pending. So, I mean, this saga is going to go on for a while. There's people with plenty of money to move around that can afford to continually keep up the lawsuits. And pretty much I think this is what you're going to see here. It's going to be tit for tat and just keep trying to run it, just to run the table, and maybe in running the table something happens, but it doesn't, I mean, it's not looking that way, at least right now. While I'm speaking about Washington, there are some politicians in this soup when it comes to women and these accusations of sexual harassment of some form. CBS has suspended Charlie Rose because 8 women came forward. PBS is saying no more distribution of this show. This is how serious this is. And Charlie Rose admitted it. And some of what he was described as doing was not pretty, my friends. So think about this. CBS is gone. PBS is gone. And this was a really well-respected newsman. So CBS said they were going to look into it. PBS said, the, like I said, shocking to learn of the allegations, and we can't air this. And, you know, one of the 3 accusers in the Washington Post story told the Post that he often walked nude in front of her when she was working at one of his homes. Ugh. And initially she detailed her experiences off the record until she read the transcripts from the other women who accused him. So that, you know, 45, he came out and he admitted it. He said to the Post, in 45 years in journalism, I've prided myself on being an advocate for the careers of women with whom I've worked. Nevertheless, in the past few days, claims have been made about my behavior towards some of my female colleagues. It's essential I let these women know I hear them and I deeply apologize for my inappropriate behavior. I'm greatly embarrassed. I've been behaved insensitively at times, and I acted responsibly for that, though I do not believe that all these allegations are accurate. I always felt that I was pursuing shared feelings, even though I now realize I was mistaken. I was mistaken. I have learned a great deal as a result of these events. I hope others will, too, including me. Well, you're not going to see him back on CBS. You're not going to see him back on PBS. So he's got plenty of time to think about the mistakes and the things that popped up that he was accused of are brutal. I mean, just absolutely brutal. And I was a big fan of Charlie Rose's, you know, the PBS show interview style, and that's too bad. But, yeah, none of those networks can afford to let that linger. And with so many and so much proof, see, it's all about the proof. It's not like a... If it becomes this crazy, out of control, every person who ever saw him makes a comment, that's different. But just add his name to the list. I told you about the dead Border Patrol agent. There's a reward offered in that case. I'm going to talk about that and a few other tie-ups on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now.
855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right. You're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
Thanks for hanging with us and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hope you get a couple of days off to hang with the fam, your friends, or yourself. Maybe you just get to binge watch a few shows that you haven't watched and just hang out and de-stress. Whatever it is that floats your boat, I hope you get a chance to do that. I think that's what the holidays are for. I know a lot of us are juggling lots of different jobs and lots of different things that are happening in our lives, but boy, can you use that break? A break is a break is a break, right? So no break here. A couple of what I'm calling loose ends, tie-ups, as I said. How about this? Lois Lerner. There's a blast from the past. Think about it. Go through the files in your brain. Lois Lerner. Who is she, Kate? Who is she? Member? Think. IRS. Ex-IRS official. Wants the testimony to stay sealed. So she and her deputy, Holly Paz, filed a motion seeking to keep that sealed in perpetuity, their testimony, when in the case that claimed the IRS targeted the Tea Party. They're saying that revealing their testimony would expose them and their families to harassment and a credible risk of violence and physical harm. Wow. Violence for that? What are they talking about? And I'm sure, yes, they've been in the media spotlight, but the Trump administration settled lawsuits with the Tea Party and other conservative organizations that said the IRS unfairly targeted them. Lerner and Paz blamed Mark Meckler, a Tea Party leader who called IRS agents criminal thugs, saying his words led to more threats. So whatever that's about, they're concerned about it. I don't know what they'll rule in this case. Will they seal it up? You know, think of freedom of information and all that other stuff. I don't know. I think it's a toss-up as to whether that happens or not. Here's another story that popped up on my radar. I had a conversation with someone today about owning television stations. Her cousin, my friend Mary Lou, her cousin had owned a few television stations and some radio stations, too. And you know, back in the day, they were tricky about how many you could own. Now feds are weakening the rules that they're hoping will support independent local media. So one company can own newspapers and broadcast stations in one market. That undoes a ban that's been in place since 1975. Thursday's decision by the FCC also makes it easier for one company to own two broadcast TV stations in one market and coordinate operations with stations owned by others. So the changes won't affect the AT&T bid for, you know, pending bid for Time Warner and its cable channels, because they come as the cable and phone companies have grown into giants through acquisitions. But anyway, the newspaper and broadcasting industries say they need the changes to deal with growing competition from the web and cable companies. And that makes sense. So the Republican-dominated FCC approved the changes in a 3-2 vote along party lines. Not a shock there. So they're loosening how many can own what. And the FCC previously had granted exceptions for companies like News Corp and other to own both a newspaper and a radio or TV station in the same market. But now that's can happen. I don't know. What Senator Bill Nelson, a Florida Democrat, is saying is the act will pave the way for massive broadcast conglomerates to increasingly provide local viewers with nationalized cookie-cutter news and corporate property and ads produced elsewhere. You know, crazy things are happening in especially broadcast television, but the rule changes with, like, Sinclair's deal has drawn a lot of criticism from a couple of different places, like consumer advocacy groups that generally oppose media consolidation. So they worry that a beefed up Sinclair would be able to get even higher fees from them. I don't know. I don't know that we're going to see fee gouging. I don't know that we're going to see that. It's, yeah, I think it could go two ways. The right person who owns a couple of different things in a market, it could be a positive move. The wrong person, of course, wrong company, it's be a negative deal. And then, of course, limitations. That's the whole thing. What ultimately are the ultimately the limitations, I suppose? And, you know, in an era of fake news, what's factual? Give me the facts, not the fake. That's what I say. Give me the facts, not the fake, baby. A New York Times reporter says Obama misled, saying that Al-Qaeda was on the run. So a top foreign correspondent for the NYT is saying that they deliberately downplayed Al-Qaeda's strength in the run-up to the 2012 presidential election. And going a little further about the assertion, and this happened last week at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, saying that the overall narrative, and this is Rukmini Kalamachachi, so the overall narrative that I think was being pushed, this is a quote, to the press, and if you can look back at the editorials that were done when they, that treasure trove when they came out, was an image of Osama bin Laden isolated. He had lost control of his group. And he was referring to the 17 hand-picked documents released by the administration in May of 2012. So it's interesting. He's not the only one. They're saying They think that the killing of Bin Laden was theorized into something much bigger, and that the head of the organization was killed, and now these are literally quotes that they would keep getting from, that they would get. The organization has been disseminated. The organization is in disarray. The organization is on the run. They said they kept getting the same quotes. And the Trump administration released about 470,000 files in November that were captured in Abbottabad in that raid. And only a few hundred were released under the Obama administration. So what's real and what's Memorex? That's be interesting to read some of those documents. Of course, it would take forever. You know, who's being micromanaged here? That's what the question is. So I think hearing that and seeing where it came out is pretty interesting, making the claims that, you know, saying the same things in the on the run, it was misleading for what people thought they, you know, was happening. And to me, that's not good. Come on, that's not good. Just blowing it up, in other words, into something so much bigger. And that's awful. By the way, I said this yesterday. The story broke when we were on the air. Charlie Manson is no more. Woohoo! Deborah Tate, the sister of Manson victim Sharon, reacted after his death because she was always asked to speak out. And remember, Sharon Tate was killed in 1969. She was pregnant and killed by his followers. And she said I said a prayer, shed a tear, stuck a flower under my cross in my bedroom, and emailed Roman Polanski. Polanski was married to 26-year-old Sharon Tate at the time of the killing. Tate was 8.5 months pregnant. And she said, I've processed through all of my hate for him. Hate isn't healthy. It won't bring my sister back. One could say I've forgiven him, but there's a difference between forgiving and forgetting. And they say that's the big burden that a lot of people carry around, and it had to be terrible carrying that around. But he died of natural causes in prison at the age of 83. A couple years ago, Deborah Tate published a book celebrating her sister's life. And that's got to be tough. I mean, even though so long ago, the whole they were horrific murders. And, of course, Manson was a name that constantly came up in the news for various things. But when he would come up for parole... Coming up next, Forbes Books at Bedtime. Hang with us, everybody.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Have you ever wondered who the second person to discover gravity was? When you're in the mood for a treat, would you go to the second best bakery in town? Or how about the name John Breckinridge? Recognize it? If you don't, that's because he came in second to Abraham Lincoln. The firsts are first for a reason. Just how ID Stronghold was the first to create the technology to protect your credit cards from thieves with RFID chip scanners. ID Stronghold products block signals from those scanners, so thieves can't capture your critical data. Get a stronghold on your personal information and protect your family too. Don't settle for the second best wallet. Pick up ID Stronghold wallets for everyone on your list this holiday season. They're the perfect stocking stuffer, with leather wallets starting as low as $20 on Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, and QVC. Save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time. That's coupon code PRESENT, only on IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
We have a terrific guest with us this time around, Tara Nicole Nelson. She is the founder and CEO of Transformational Consumer Insights. Ooh, I like that name. She's the former VP of Marketing for MyFitnessPal, now part of Under Armour, where she led a team that grew the platform to over 100 million customers. Woo!
Through brand, me, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Brand growth, engagement, content, digital, social media, media relations. She's a smart cookie. She's got a master's degree in psychology and a Juris Doctorate from the University of California, Berkeley. She's the board president of City Slicker Farms, a nonprofit food justice organization in West Oakland. I've actually heard of that as well. Tara, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So my first question is a layup question. What is transformational consumer? What are they? What is a transformational consumer?
Yeah, it's really like a customer segment. So think of it in a similar vein to the way that people think about like millennials or baby boomers or moms for business and marketing purposes. But the transformational consumer is a massive and growing segment of people who looks at all of their life as a series of projects to change their behavior for the healthier, wealthier, and wiser. They are very optimistic people, okay? They believe that everything in their lives can be changed, but they know that, like, the linchpin to actually making those changes in their lives is their own behavior, and they know that behavior change is really, really hard. So they're constantly out there looking for the products, the services, the content that can help them make these hard changes. So for those reasons, they tend to be early adopters. They're very experimental with lots of new kinds of products. Their personal brands and their own circles of friends tends to be, hey, like, that's the gal that's always starting a side business or studying for a certification or trying a new food philosophy. So they're highly influential on the buying behavior of the people in their lives because those people tend to always be asking them for recommendations to things. And I just like to say, if you've been, like, vegan and paleo at different times in your life, you're probably a transformational consumer. But it's not just that, like, granola crunchy sort of health nut West Coast kind of demographic. It's also a lot of entrepreneurs, people who tend to listen to podcasts to get better at things, people who tend to, you know, read business books to evolve their businesses. All of those kinds of people tend to be transformational consumers.
We're talking with Tara Nicole Nelson. She's the author of the new book, The Transformational Consumer. You got to love the subtitle of this book, Fuel a Lifelong Love Affair with Your Customers. You can turn this around, too, because we're the customers and companies are trying to fuel a lifelong love affair with us. Fuel a
That's
lifelong
right.
love affair with your customers by helping them get healthier, wealthier, and wiser. And, you know, Tara, I heard this really interesting story. Kate and I were recently at a conference of an organization called the Women Presidents Organization. So there were 800 women there. Every one of them had a business that was making $2 million or more, some of them in, you know, $50 million and way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things we heard over and over again is that this is not just a consumer issue for companies. It's also an HR issue for companies because
we heard that
a lot of companies are, if they're doing bad things in the background, millennials in particular will not go to work for them because where they work is part of their identity. Can you talk about that?
I think it's millennials more than we've seen in other generational segments. I think it's transformational consumers in large part too. I talk about this a lot in the book, actually. Like, your consumer audiences, in my mind, I think of them as your external consumers or your customers, your internal consumers or your employees. And one thing that I have thought about and said a lot to the companies that I work with in my company is that any company at any stage in any, like, everybody's looking for that trick, for that thing that releases the limiting factor on their growth. And what I have seen time and time again is that any kind of company, no matter what you sell, no matter what stage you're in, will thrive if it consistently engages these two audiences over and over again, your customers and your employees, right? And when transformational consumers are in your employee set, they look at their work as a huge part of the way that they get healthier or less healthy, right? Think about stress management at work.
Mm.
Think about the fact that...
And what's in the vending machine.
In the vending machine, in the cafeteria, the dreaded sort of break room donut box, I have studied that thing a whole lot in my career because it's a major, you know, it's a reason that junk food is ubiquitous and it's one of the big hurdles that people have to get over when they're trying to eat better, which is, you know, something I've studied a lot in my career. I cannot emphasize enough how understanding the changes that people want to make, and this is actually a really opportune moment to start talking about what healthier, wealthier, and wiser mean, because the whole book is about shifting from the way you think about your company and your business and what you sell to the way that your customers do, internal and external audiences, right? So, like, wealthier includes productivity and time management. It includes collaboration and being better at your work so that you can be more efficient and spend more time with your family and doing the other things you want to do in your life. Wiser includes anything that's around self-actualization or, like, living more fully into the potential you feel like you were put on this planet with. So this construct applies equally to internal and external audiences. And in fact, the last chapter of the book is all about how to rethink your culture into a fear-free workplace, a place where people are able to use their work, no matter what sector you work in, to lift other people up, because the transformational consumers in your company will constantly be looking to leave and go elsewhere if they don't feel like they can do those things at work.
Yet if we take the technology aspect of what you're saying and what we're doing with apps and looking at apps and technology and melding that and helping those consumers achieve those goals, what are the other biggest mistakes you see tech companies making in terms of the actual product design?
Yeah, I would zoom like one tiny step up from that and say the biggest problem that IT tech companies are making is a worldview problem. It's that they look at their interactions with customers through the lens of their product first versus trying to understand the world and think about the way that they connect with customers through the lens of the real world problems that their customers are trying to solve when they might encounter the product, right? So like, this is a matter of the sort of worldview difference. I'll try to explain with an example. So if you are a tech company and you've been given the marching orders of like, engage people more frequently, right? It's like the dirty little secret of every app, that you can get people to download the app. You can actually just advertise enough and get people to download the app. You can't like pay people to use the app over and over again, right? So engagement on an app in the app world is like the holy grail. That is the thing that builds a long-term sustainability business. So if you give a product first team the marching order of like engage people more, they send them a bunch of annoying push notifications.
I've never seen that. Like, has that ever happened to you, Kate? Have you ever experienced that?
Right? And push notifications that have nothing to do with anything. You know, it's like a sales thing. If we get enough of them out there to enough people will click through, our engagement number will get up. Everybody uninstalls the app because it's that annoying. But with a product-first lens, you're not like thinking that far ahead. If you are a problem-first company, all you're fixated on are what are the things we could do. Like, what is our customer's real-world journey from having the problem they have to no longer having that problem? And what is every opportunity we could take to remove frictions along that journey? So, for example, at MyFitnessPal, once we started to think about our customers in that way, we like actually just started innovating whole new product feature sets. Once we realized that eating out was a place where people were getting stuck a lot of the time on logging, we just created a bunch of restaurant logging tools and a bunch of partnerships with restaurants so we could have their data in the database, right? So it causes you to make really different choices about where you focus your feature development roadmap when you're thinking about your whole company through the lens of how can we make our customers' journey easier, smoother, more beautiful, more effective.
We're talking with Tara Nicole Nelson. She's the author of the book, The Transformational Consumer, and you either are one or you're not one. But the truth is, I think people are happier when they're transformational consumers, aren't they? Is that a fair assumption to make?
I for sure think that people are more optimistic and they feel like they are living in flow if they are a transformational consumer. Because everybody kind of wants to be healthier, wealthier, and wiser, right? Like there's no one you're going to ask, do you want to be healthier, I'm fine.
I think people think they want to be healthier, wealthier, and wiser.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, if I go to Costco, I don't necessarily think I'm seeing a lot of people that are doing what it takes to be healthier, wealthier, and wiser.
There is the difference. That is one of the defining characteristics of a transformational consumer, is that they actually are doing something together. Yeah. Right.
So, and your book is designed to give them, and your book is designed to give marketers the tools to help them do that.
To give marketers and businesses, product designers in any sector, entrepreneurs, executives, because the truth is, say you're just the marketer, unless your company is extraordinarily evolved, you can serve as the voice of the customer, but if your product is not actually removing frictions along your customer's transformational journey, I call it like health washing. You've heard the phrase greenwashing, where people take a product and just put, like, say it's greener than it actually is. Health washing is like that. It's where you see all these product claims that are just, like, very vague, like, all natural, which means nothing, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you see marketing being really on board with the idea of this and no other team in the company is, you start to see real disconnects that cause customers to kind of call BS on whether your product is actually living up to your advertising claims. So the book is actually like for kind of everybody in the company, and I talk a lot in there about how important it is that every team in the company be operating on the same understanding of the customer's journey. But you are 100% right. Transformational consumers are those people who are always out there doing something, trying to actually make healthier, wealthier, and wiser happen. And they do influence other people. There are other people in their lives that kind of shift from inert to inaction on transformational objectives because they have observed someone in their life make progress. We've seen that a lot, actually. People who were like, I'd like to be healthier, but I don't even think it's a thing that's really possible for me. See someone very close to them, a relative or whatever, start to make changes and get inspired to make those changes themselves. there are some people who shift from non-transformational to transformational.
Perfect place to end this. Tara Nicole Nelson, the founder and CEO of Transformational Consumer Insights, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love.
What a pleasure to be joined on America Tonight by Don Most. You might remember him as Ralph. I'm sure you remember him in Ralph in the iconic series Happy Days. But he is also a wicked singer. I was just listening to some of his tunes, and I want to dig even deeper into the archive. Somebody turned me on to Don's stuff. And he's got a new CD titled Swinging Down the Chimney Tonight. I love that song, although I'm a terrible singer. He's a great singer. Hey, Don, thanks for coming on the show.
Kate, thank you very much for having me.
So tell me what it was like to, I mean, you sing, you do shows, you do a lot of the, I call it like kind of the swinging tunes. I lived in California and had the pleasure of going to Vegas a bunch, and I love the whole Rat Pack, Sinatra, Dino, and that kind of thing. And you're touring with a band that performs where you sing and you do the swinging hits like that, which is awesome that you can reach back and do it, because I think people long for that nostalgia. But what's it like, before we talk about that, to do holiday recordings? That's pretty fun, huh?
Yeah, what happened was after I started doing my live show a few years ago, a lot of people were encouraging me to record. We started with a regular CD, which actually will come out in February, and that's called The Most Mostly Swinging. And it's all the great jazz standards and the swing stuff, and like you were talking about, some of the Sinatra kind of music and Bobby Darin and all the greats and songs from the Great American Songbook. But then when we finished, it came out so well, and my manager and the record company, they were, you know, so happy with it. And my producer said, you know, we should do a few Christmas songs because it might be a good thing to get that out even prior to the release of the main CD to help spread the word of what you're doing, you know. So we didn't have a lot of time to get out in time, so we did four songs, and we figured we'd put out what, you know, they call an EP, which is not a full CD, but it was a nice sampling of some Christmas songs, and it was a lot of fun. We decided to do some in the swing vein, but then there were a couple of real traditional songs as well, like the Christmas song that Nat King Cole made famous, because that was always one of my favorites.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, so did you have a favorite? Would that be maybe the favorite in this little compilation?
Yeah. It's a tough one. It's right up there. You know, it varies. It's like when I listen to them, one time I'll say, oh, I like this one the best, and then another time another one strikes me. I also like that one, but The Man with the Bag is a lot of fun, too. It's a big band swing song and a little more jazzy, and I like that one a lot, too. I guess those two. But then I also do, we have a real fun time with Santa Baby, which we do as a duet, and there's a wonderful singer, Becky Martin, that I do it with, and it's a very different approach to Santa Baby, and the musical styles shift back and forth between one for the guy and one for the girl, and it's very interesting. And then, of course, there's it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, which you can't go wrong with that. So it's a really nice kind of variety of styles and feelings, and I'm pretty happy with it. It came out great.
So you obviously have a big acting background. It's not just Happy Days. You've done a lot of film work, and you still continue to do that. Did you always have the passion, though, for singing as well?
Actually, it was prior to acting that I started out as a singer. When I was very young, when I was 14 years old and 15, I got picked to be part of this sort of nightclub review. It was from a school that I was going to, and then they picked, there were seven or eight of us in that age range, and we were part of this nightclub review, and I sang in the nightclubs of the Catskill Mountains, which was a resort area upstate New York that was big back then. So I was doing that before I was acting. And then after that season, I switched gears and enrolled in a more serious workshop and acting class. And I kind of moved in that direction and started getting some work and really going after that in a big way. But always knowing that I would come back to the music at some point. Now, I don't know why it took me this long, because I'm loving it. But there's a reason and time for everything. And I did come back to it, although I'm not going to stop. I still want to continue acting, directing, but I'm loving doing this so much. You know, I just did a show in New York City at Feinstein's 54 Below and had a wonderful time. And I have a show coming out here in Los Angeles at a great jazz club called Catalina's Bar and Grill, which is in Hollywood. And I have that coming up the 21st. So I love the live shows and now the recordings, getting in the studio with unbelievable musicians and great jazz guys and arrangements and all that. It's just it's an incredible high.
Yeah, how fun is that? And you mentioned you haven't stopped directing or acting. Is there more opportunity now because you see the explosion of Netflix and Amazon and other vehicles? Is there more opportunity? I heard a thing with Jennifer Aniston the other day where she said, oh, TV's where it's at. I mean, there's just so much to do. So that's great for actors.
Yeah, there is a lot more content, more outlets, and they're doing some wonderful things in all of these, alternative outlets. I don't know what you call them, cable and the new outlets. I'm seeing it, and I was focusing on the music the last couple of years, so I'm now like starting to put the big push on with my agents to get me some good roles again, because I miss that. So I'm hoping that we'll find some of those great roles on these new shows that are going on.
Yeah, absolutely. The world lost a great guy that you knew, Gary Marshall, this past year. What was Gary Marshall like?
Oh, Gary was one of a kind, an incredible guy, with you know, comic genius, and he was our leader on Happy Days, and he led many other shows and movies, and he really helped bring us together as a family. He formed a baseball team for us, and we traveled around the country touring major league parks, playing in games, and so we had incredible experiences together, and a funny guy, but a very warm and caring guy as well. We will all miss him a lot.
Yeah, as you said, it's like a family, but everybody's doing a million things in a million different directions. Do you ever, every once in a while, get together, you know, with Henry or anybody else that was in your Happy Days cast?
Yes, Anson Williams, who played Potsy, and I, we get together a lot. We live fairly close to each other, and we see each other all the time. Henry, we stay in touch. I had lunch with him not long ago, and I ran into saw Marion Ross at a function, and we got to hang out. It was great. I played golf with Scott Baio recently. We stay in touch. Like you said, it's everyone goes and has a million different things going on, and so it's certainly not to the degree like it was when we were all working together, but there is that sort of sense of family that will never go away.
Yeah. So you're a golfer. Wow. I'm a golfer. So when you're out there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I hack at it. I try really, really hard, Don. So I'm just assuming you and Scott, I'm picturing the two of you, you know, walking down to your balls, and I'm thinking you're out driving him by, like, you know, 25 yards.
Well, not really. Not really. I mean, he can hit the ball pretty far. On occasion, every once in a while, I'll hit one maybe a little bit by him. But for the most part, he's probably out driving me these days. I haven't been playing as much as I would like. I've been so busy with the music. So I need to sharpen up again and then go out and play with him again so I could do what you're saying.
I love that. I want to tell everybody that it is a great CD. Get it, Swinging Down the Chimney tonight, and we'll look for you live. I'd love to see you live sometime. And Catalina, you're going to be there at that jazz club you said on the 21st. So anybody listening to me, certainly in that area, go out and see Don Most.
Yeah, and I'm going to be I'm going to be in Texas, in Greenville, Texas, in February, the Texan
cool.
Theater, and then Bay City, Michigan, in February as well. So for people out in the Midwest, you might be able to catch me. So I hope so. And then my other CD coming out in February, mostly swinging.
All right. So we will look for that too. And Greenville, I'll catch you in Greenville. I'll go out and see you in Greenville. That's not far from Dallas for people listening.
Oh, good. I was wondering. It's February, I think it's the 25th. It's either the 18th or the 25th at the Texan Theater, I believe it's called.
Texan Theater. Cool.
Yeah.
We will look for you there. Definitely. Don Most, thank you so much.
Kate, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.